Hi everyone, Jeff here from Gojo Media. I do in-depth and fun food reviews on YouTube. To find me, just search for Gojo Media Jeff.
If you like new stuff before anybody else, if you like to keep your finger on the pulse, if you like the future and want to be in it, keep on listening because we'll start in a minute. Tech Webcast. The hosts and guests are unsurpassed. Tech Webcast. Because technology, it moves so fast. Tech Webcast. Stick around and you're gonna have a blast. Yeah! Tech Webcast. Tech Webcast. Let's go!
Welcome to episode 350 of the Tech Webcast podcast, recorded on the 26th of September 2015. Tech Webcast is recorded every Saturday at midday Melbourne time. Rate us on iTunes and like us on Facebook.com/TechWebcast. Follow us on Twitter at TechWebcast and download the Tech Webcast iPhone app. Your hosts for today are Brad, Jacob, Steve, Hannah, Paul, and myself, Daryl. And our guest for today is Sarah Williams. Hello, Brad.
Hello, Daryl. How are you?
I'm good, mate. The new iPhone 6S owner. How are you?
Good, mate. I'm very happy owner. I think Hannah was supposed to do the intro, wasn't she? I'm not sure.
No, I'm reading the newsletter.
Oh, okay, cool. All right, cool. I didn't know what was going on. What episode is this, Daryl? Just say 350.
350, exactly. 350.
Yay.
Oh, we got fireworks.
So, Daryl, how's your week been, mate?
No, good week. Work was pretty good, and as I said before we started recording, I was at an East Timor event last night here in my town. It's 10 years since our local community had a friendship arrangement with Venalale, which is a village in the mountains of East Timor. So we had the Australian East Timor ambassador there last night, and we sang some East Timorese songs in their actual dialect, which I didn't think we did too bad. But yeah, it was very good.
All right. Good stuff, Daryl. And Hannah, how's your week been? You got a new MacBook Pro?
Yes. Just a few days ago, I had a new MacBook Pro delivered to me.
Cool.
Which is very exciting. And it's so light and thin and fast.
Is that the Retina? That's the Retina screen, right? The Retina?
Yeah, it's got the Retina screen, and my last MacBook Pro was 5 years old, so I'm really enjoying the upgrade. And actually, I've written a blog about it for your blog, Brad.
Oh, cool.
I'll talk to you about that afterwards. Yeah.
Oh, cool. Thanks. Jacob, how's your week been, mate?
Pretty good, Brad. Pretty good.
All right, mate. Good stuff. You're on here to talk to Dalen. Who are you here to talk to?
I'm here to talk to you about your new iPhone.
What do you want to know about it?
All I want to know? Because I tested it with for an hour or so with you.
Yeah, you did. It's been good. Yeah, it's good phone. Love it. Nice phone. Like the 3T touch on it and stuff. And that's my favorite feature so far of it.
And the FaceTime is improved, and you should like the Taptic 3D screen.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Paul, you got your phone yesterday too, mate. How do you like your phone? Welcome to the show, by the way.
Hi, how you going, Brad?
Good, mate.
It's really good so far. It's still restoring, so I haven't really had a chance to actually use it yet, so hopefully it'll finish sometime today and I can...
Hang on for a second. What did you say? Did you say your phone's still syncing?
It's still restoring, yeah.
Oh, wow. Really?
Damn. It's a really, really long time.
Gee, that takes ages, man. Taking so- yeah, that, why is that? Mine didn't take that long to do.
I have a lot of apps, so
oh, is that why? Okay.
It takes me probably a day or two to sync.
Yeah, I don't put a lot of apps
on. That is ridiculous.
Yeah, it's crazy. just do it from iTunes, mate, maybe.
It is from iTunes.
Is it?
Okay. It'll be restoring the backup, so and if you've backed up, that takes a lot of time if you've got a lot of apps.
Yeah, yeah. And did you get your watch working, Paul? Sorry, Daryl, did you get your watch working, Paul?
I tend to, when I get a new phone, I don't even restore. About what I do is I give it a fresh, you know, I restore. If I had the 6S, I would just run it, and then I would just re-download the apps I
Oh, okay. Set up as a new iPhone, yeah.
So I don't go and, you know, put the whole lot back, because I always take it the opportunity, because like we all do, we all get apps and then apps we never use, and I'm too lazy to go through. So when I get a new phone, it's a chance to review what apps I've got, and if I don't like certain apps, or I haven't used an app for a year, and I think, what's that do? And I think, well, if I don't know what it does, why have it?
All right, we've got Steve on. Welcome, Steve. How's your week been, mate?
Hey, how you doing, Brad? Doing pretty good. I'm still rocking my iPhone 5S, and finally, with the new iOS 9 that I installed on it, I had a problem for a long time. I was just getting 3G and not LTE service, so there's been a wireless provider update as well, so that fixed my LTE 4G problems, so I'm happy with that. Yep, isn't it?
All right, we're back. Hang on, I just hit pause on the recording so I can edit that blank part out. That's all right. So do you want to keep doing the podcast, Hannah, or do you want to restart it?
Yeah, no, we'll keep going.
Keep going.
I'm still recording on this end.
All right, cool.
We were still going.
All right.
In fact, there's only one story left. So I shall read it now.
But it didn't come into the recording. The recording stopped.
Recording audio.
Oh, hey, Steve?
Recording.
Oh, good on you, Steve. Did you mention Sarah's name? Sarah's here as well. Did you mention Sarah?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Sarah didn't get a chance to speak, so I didn't ask about a week.
Okay, you could ask her now.
How about I finish the last story?
Okay.
You can edit out all this talking.
Sure, go ahead.
I finish the last story, and then you can talk to Sarah.
Go ahead, Hannah.
How does that sound?
Sounds good to me. Go ahead.
Cool. Okay. And now the last story. Windows 10 downloads secretly onto PCs. Microsoft update silently steals gigabytes of storage space. <Da-da-da>. Microsoft has confirmed that it downloads Windows 10 files to computers just in case users decide to upgrade. The company wants to make the migration to Win10 as efficient as possible, but the files take up somewhere between 3.5 to 6 gigabytes of space. The situation was first reported by an anonymous reader at the Inquirer, who found the squiggly line BT folder used for storing copies of Windows 10 had appeared on his system despite the user not expressing any interest in upgrading. I know of two instances where people on metered connections went over their data cap for August because of this unwanted download, he said. My own internet, which is slow DSL, was crawling for a week or so until I discovered this problem. Microsoft confirmed the problem in a statement to the publication. For individuals who have chosen to receive automatic updates through Windows Update, we help upgradable devices get ready for Windows 10 by downloading the files they'll need if they decide to upgrade, the statement read. The reader explained that the way to check whether Microsoft had done the same to your machine is to look for repeated failed instances of upgrade to Windows 10 in the Windows Update history and a large folder called $windows.squigglyline.bt. It's not the first time Microsoft has got in hot water over secret Windows 10 transfers. Last month, it was discovered that the new OS was secretly communicating with Redmond. Who is this Redmond? I don't know who that is. Even if the user had turned on all privacy features and explicitly requested not to send data to Microsoft. It is, however, an odd move for a company that has seen success with its release. Less than a month after launch, Microsoft announced the software was now running on over 75 million devices. Almost every country in the world has a device running Windows 10. With this level of user acceptance, why does Microsoft need to secretly download the upgrade? And that's the news. Let me quickly mention, if you want to check out reviews of tech, check out Belinda Vlogs. You can find her on YouTube.
Okay.
At youtube.com/BDEMY10.
All right. Can you just quickly just mention them six stories real quick again, Hannah, because the recording didn't catch the start of it. So can you just quickly just mention them real quick?
What am I doing again?
The news. Just recap the news again, because some people may miss that part because the recording stopped.
Okay.
If that's okay.
So a quick recap.
Yeah, please do.
A woman bought a new Apple iPhone 6 via her robot.
That's cool. Yep.
Telstra is talking about a new mobile device which will be extremely fast for mobile broadband. I skipped a story. Oh, it was boring anyway.
Okay, that's all right.
The story I skipped was Microsoft kills safe disk DRM on Windows 7 and 8.
But that
because news, nobody liked it.
That news story about the robot's pretty cool though, isn't it?
Yeah. Mm. And then there was the final story about Windows 10 being downloaded secretly onto PCs and being generally annoying for people.
All right, cool. Not a fan of Microsoft. I'm an Apple fan. Sarah, welcome to the show, by the way. And how's your week been?
Hi there. It's been great. You know, I'm getting back from the trip that we're about to talk about, getting used to life and society and all that stuff again, which is great.
Cool. And your mum's Mary. She does a lot of meerkat stuff. Tell us about. Do you use meerkat and mention your mum real quick?
Yeah, absolutely. I don't broadcast on meerkat myself, but my mom is very avid and is very good at it and has a lot of followers in her community. Mm-hmm. Her handle is Peace Love Dove, I believe, and she does all sorts of fun stuff. You know, she cooks, she creates, she paints, all for entertainment, and talks to people. And she also does a caregiver's speech every Sunday night and talks about caregiving and every facet of that.
Okay.
And she's reached a lot of people, and people seem to be very receptive to her and what she has to offer.
And she's also an Apple fan.
Oh, the biggest. Yes. I think she does a broadcast whenever she gets a new product, you know, opening it up and testing it out, all the good stuff.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, Helen, hello to Mary. And if you haven't seen Mary's stream on Meerkat, check it out. It's really cool. She does some cool stuff on there. She went to Las Vegas. She went somewhere in Las Vegas the other night. It was really cool. And she did a tour around that, and she played some slot machines.
Yeah, she likes to go on the strip and take everybody with and ask them their opinions on what number to bet, and she makes it fun and interactive.
Yeah, it does. That's what I like about it. It's really cool, and she's great lady. So tell us about the walk and the charity water.
Yeah, so a couple weeks ago, I started on a journey, a hike, if you will, through the Sierra Nevada Mountains in California of the United States. It's a 210-mile trail through Ansel Adam Wilderness, Sequoia, and Kings Canyon National Parks. And I did it solo, but in the process of doing the hike, I started a campaign with an organization called Charity Water. To help raise money for clean water projects around the world, bringing the ability for different villages to have clean water so they can spend their time doing more productive things, such as going to school, and the sanitation is much better. And it just helps out all facets of life, and something I'm super passionate about and wanted to find a way to be able to help. And so with Charity Water, you can start campaigns for all different sorts of things. And that's what I chose to do for my campaign, was to walk the John Muir Trail, is what it was called.
All right. Hannah, any questions for Sarah? Steve, what about you? Any questions for Sarah?
Yeah. looking on your website, and I seen how going walking this trail is it? How high is it? Elevation? Is it like pretty high? I believe it's Mount Whitney, I think.
Yeah, Mount Whitney is the start or the end, depending on which direction you go. But it ends at Mount Whitney, which is 14,505 feet, which is certainly the highest point. But I would say it stays above 10,000 feet for a majority of the trail. And there are several mountain passes which go into the 1,200s, but ultimately to that 1,400.
Well, is certain sections kind of dangerous? Because I know, you know, it's... Does it, like, squeeze down to a small path in some areas?
It does. I mean, the only time I ever thought the trail was very dangerous was at the top of one of the mountain passes called Glen Pass. It was very, very steep, very narrow, and very windy.
Wow.
So all the things, like, if you're slightly afraid of heights, it would certainly bring that out. And if you have any kind of misstep, then you would be rolling down and
yeah,
not
definitely.
Good shape.
Yeah, definitely. What sort of food did you cook in that on there, Sarah? And how long did it take you? Was it a month or how many weeks was it?
I ended up doing the trail in 18 days.
Okay.
Which is a little faster, I think, than average. Most people who go do it, I would say, 25 to 30 days if they're really taking their time to really enjoy everything. But I didn't have that much time, so I wanted to get through it but still enjoy it as much as I possibly could. For food, I had a little one-person stove it's a gas stove, and I brought one pot. So I did a lot of dehydrated meals for dinner.
Wow.
You can buy dehydrated meals at any sporting goods store, or you can certainly do it yourself if you have a dehydrator. And for lunch, I did, you know, tuna packets but also on the separate almond butter packets, or you could do peanut butter and tortillas. That was a really great... energetic lunch. And then every morning for breakfast I did oatmeal, but I added things to it, like dehydrated fruit and chia seeds and protein powder to help make it a little bit more worth my while, if you will.
Nice one. And what about the weather? Did you come across any bad weather, or was the weather good? Or
so the actual weather was great. It was sunny, the temperature was lovely. I didn't see any rain, which I was a little disappointed in, because the Sierra Nevada mountains are known for having really beautiful afternoon storms. But the only type of sort of weather I faced that was a little non-favorable was smoke from a wildfire that was in the area, which actually covered the trail for a couple of days. So you couldn't see a mile ahead or a mile behind, which was slightly disappointed. On top of the mountain passes, because you want that view, but the smoke did take that view away. And a lot of people ended up leaving the trail, actually, because of how bad the smoke was getting.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Wow.
But I wanted to press on, and I felt okay, so I did that.
Good on you. And how many people were on the trail? How many people were doing it?
This statistic could be wrong, but I believe that there's over 1,000 people who did it this year. Who attempted it. I don't know if that's finished, but that's how many permits were given.
Okay.
In the beginning and the end, so the beginning was Yosemite Valley, which is a very popular national park, and then Mount Whitney, of course, is a very popular destination. So each day near those destinations, I would say I saw maybe 50 people throughout the day.
What was that name called, you said? What was that first name you said?
Yosemite.
Yeah, that's the name of a Mac operating system.
Yeah.
yeah, it's a real place as well, Brad.
Yeah, I realize that. I know that. I'm just stating that out. I know that, mate. I don't realize
that. But there in the middle, I didn't see too many faces because it was the middle and because of the smoke.
Okay.
So with those two things, I would say maybe I saw two or three people a day.
Cool. Okay. Paul, any questions for Sarah?
Yeah, is this your first mountain you've hiked, or you've done a couple, or...
I've done a few short trips. I would say the longest trip I've ever done was maybe a 3 or 4 day trip. So this was quite the stretch for me, from going from 4 days to 18 days. But I had the basics down, and I definitely want to go back and do more like it.
All right. What about you?
Okay, cool.
Any more questions, Paul?
Have you ever also climbed mountains, like actually cliffhangers or that type of stuff, or are you just... you like the hiking on the type mountains of stuff like that?
Yeah, as of right now, that's where my skill level is, and that's all I have done, but I definitely have a dream of being able to climb as well. I did meet a lot of climbers when I was out there, and you have to be a good hiker first because you have to be able to get to the base camp of certain mountains first before you can ascend. But I definitely want to. I was just at a rock climbing gym today, actually, improving my grip strength, if you will, so I can get better and more knowledgeable to be able to do something like that in the actual wilderness.
Cool. Well, Yosemite has El Capitan, so
yeah, that would
be the ultimate test of climbing a rock.
Yes.
And that comes out next week, too. That software update, too. That comes out next week. That
That's funny, the correlation.
Just so you know.
Yeah.
Hannah, any questions for Sarah? Hannah's not talking. Darrow, what about you? Darrow, any questions? Any comments you want to mention, mate?
The track that you're on, I was trying to. I've been to Lake Donna, and I've been to where the Donna Party, somewhere where the Donna Party, you know, went through back in the 1800s. Does that track lead you right through to California, like from the Sierra Nevadas down into California?
Yeah, the whole entire trail is within California.
Oh, again, because I went up when my brother lives in Sacramento, and we went up into the Sierra Nevadas and just drove up. We didn't do all the heavy hiking and that. We just drove up to Lake Donna and to where the Donna Party camp and that. So I was just wondering how far you actually walked, whether you walked sort of a where the wagon trains tried to get through.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's certain parts of the trail that are more easy to get to if you just want to do a section, which is very cool.
Yeah, right. So, Sarah, are you into what sort of technology things do you like to get into? Are you a geek?
Not as much as I should be. My mom, of course, and then my brother are both the tech geeks, quote unquote, of the family. So I get all my information from them.
Okay, cool.
But yeah.
All right. What else do you want to mention about what you did over there with the charity water and stuff and the walk? Anything else you want to mention?
Just thought it was a great experience, and if anybody is ever thinking about doing something like that, that you can and that you should.
All right. Jacob, what about you? Would you do this walk, Jacob, or would you let someone sponsor you to walk this to do this or not at all?
Brad, I wouldn't be able to make it up the hill.
I knew that.
It's a bit more than just.
At least you're honest, Jacob.
Yeah, Jacob. That is true. Yeah, at least you're
honest. Did you notice? Because I know California's in the midst of a severe drought. Did you notice on your walk the effects of the drought in the Sierra Nevadas?
Because a lot of the areas that I went to it was the first time I had been there. I was not able to pick up on anything necessarily, but there was a lot of people that I had talked to who had spent some significant time in the area who kept mentioning how low the rivers were and the lakes, and that at one point it was a raging river and now it's just a little tiny stream that you can walk with your boots on through. So, I mean, that and of course the wildfires and how bad those are right now just because everything is dry, I would say were the two main areas in which I saw the drought.
Okay. Question from Hannah. What sort of device did you use to track your location, that sort of thing?
Yeah, so I used what's called a spot device. It is a GPS-driven device that you can send out pre-selected messages to whatever avenue you want. So I actually linked my device to my Twitter account so that every single time I hit a specific button, it would send my location and then a small message that I had pre-written to a Twitter update.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so I checked in twice a day. I checked in once at lunch and then wherever I got to at camp every single night just for whoever was interested in following my path on the trail. I did bring my iPhone and I used it for video. I did bring a separate camera for still photography, but I had it just in case because I've been in situations before where the iPhone has severely saved me.
Yeah, definitely. What do you think of the new iPhone, Sarah? Have you seen the new iPhone 6S?
I watched the keynote, but I have not seen it in person.
What do you think of it?
I think it's great. I love the idea of the 3D touch. I think it's It might take some getting used to, of course, you know, any new software, but yeah. I think it's going to be great.
Yeah, definitely. See, if you had that phone, you could record the video in 4K. You've had that phone.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would have been a good video.
Yeah.
To get. What else, Tara? Do you want to tell us about what you did and what else did you do?
It was fairly simple, you know. Okay. I think that was the theme of it.
Okay.
All right. Can people donate? Can people go? Is there a website that people can go to now and donate to the projects that you were raising money for?
Yeah, my campaign is actually still open for the next 5 days. I had a goal to raise $3,000, and I actually surpassed my goal with right now it being $3,620. So
good on you.
Very happy and excited. Can't believe that I was actually able to raise that money, and so happy that I did. And to everyone who helped, it's a group effort. And so there is a link. I think it is in the notes.
Yeah, it is. Yep. I'll put that link in the show notes after the podcast so people can check it out. Yeah. Do you have a blog at all, Sarah, so people can check it out? Or
I don't. I have all of the images that I shot being updated to my Instagram account,
okay.
Which is a public account free to peruse. I've been posting all the images that I shot on my still camera.
All right, cool. Okay, and what sort of camera do you use?
For this particular trip, I bought a brand new camera. It's a Fuji. XT10. It's not an SLR, but it has interchangeable lenses, and it has a capability to shoot in RAW and manual. And so I was able to really capture the nuances of the beautiful lighting up there.
Very cool.
It's also a very cool camera because it creates its own wireless, so that I can transmit images that I shoot on the camera directly to my phone and be able to upload them if I had service.
All right, Hannah, do you want to go ahead? Hannah, what do you want to say?
Yeah, Sarah, I'm wondering what's next for you. Are you going to? Do you think? Can you see yourself doing something else to raise money for the same charity or a different charity? Are you going to take a break for a while? Or what's next for you?
Well, I generally always have that question answered in my head. Like, I always know what's coming next, but as of right now, I don't. I'm going to continue backpacking, and I want to do bigger and better and longer hikes. And I would love to find a way to integrate more charity work into that. So that's the avenue, but I don't know what the destination is quite yet.
Mount Everest. Cool.
Yeah, I did just watch Everest, and the first half of the movie I was like, yeah, I want to do this. And the second half I was like, no, it's a bad idea.
All right, Sarah, thanks for being on. Appreciate your time. Any other questions, Hannah, you want to mention Sarah before she goes? Or
no, I wish you good luck in whatever is your next endeavor.
Yeah, definitely. Any plans coming to Australia at all, Sarah?
Potentially, actually, yes.
Which part of Australia?
I have a really good friend who lives in Brisbane.
Okay, cool.
I'm Melbourne. So
are you going to come to Melbourne?
I love it there. So
you should come to Melbourne. Yeah, we should meet up, and yeah, maybe Mary can come as well.
Oh, she would love that. Yeah, she's been wanting to go there, I think, her whole life.
Oh, okay. So. All right. Cool. Do you want to hang around, Sarah, or do you need to go?
I need to go.
All right. Cool.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Appreciate your time.
Of course.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. So yeah, that was Sarah, Hannah.
Cool. She's great. Wow. What a woman. Amazing.
Yeah, she's cool. Yeah, she's great. Yeah. Yeah.
But, you know, to not only go doing that physical requirement, but also to selflessly make it into something for other people. It takes a special kind of person
definitely.
And a special kind of strength to do that. I'm an admirer.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I agree. Definitely. Paul, let's talk about the iPhone real quick, mate. You got your iPhone yesterday, so did I. So what's your take on it so far, mate?
Well, there's not really much. I had a bit of a look at the Force. Sorry, I almost said Force Touch. 3D Touch.
3D Touch, yep. There's no Force Touch.
Really good.
There's no Force Touch, is there, on the phone, is there?
Well, the Force Touch is a 3D Touch. They just renamed it.
Oh, okay,
just
renamed it. Okay, cool. Okay, I just wanted to check
yeah,
that.
Yeah, so it's literally the same thing you're used to on the Apple Watch.
Mm-hmm.
Except it's on a bigger scale, obviously.
Yep.
But yeah, I noticed the first thing that I noticed was when I set up the fingerprint reader, it's much improved compared to how it was previously. It's less than a second to actually unlock, which is better than the 2 seconds it took last time. So it is faster. So that's pretty cool. Yep. Camera haven't really touched yet. I did turn on the 4K. That's all I did.
How do you turn it on?
I haven't really had a chance to really use it as such. As I said, it's still actually restoring.
How do you turn the 4K on, Paul? How do you turn that on?
Yeah.
How do you turn that on, the 4K part? I'm not sure how to turn that on. On the phone?
It's all in the settings.
Is it?
Under the camera. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Let me check that. Okay, sweet.
In settings under camera. So if you go settings, it'll say display. And you scroll down, it'll say, where is it? Photos and camera. Just go on there.
Where's
and that'll give you the option for 4K.
4K, where's 4K? 4K. I don't have an option for 4K.
You got to go into
maybe you guys can figure it out.
Are you in photos and camera?
yeah, I am. Yep. I am.
Okay, so if you scroll down,
there should be record video. Yeah, there we go.
Yeah.
Oh, sweet, okay.
And then when you click on record video,
got it, there we go.
And you
too
can
easy.
Change the... You can also change the slow-mo as well if you wanted to go 1080p, nice. 120 frames per second.
Nice. So not many people use 4K in Australia, I don't think, because their internet is pretty shit and they don't have cable. A lot of people I know don't have really fast internet, but...
It's that, but also most people don't have 4K screens.
Exactly.
So there isn't really much print.
Exactly. Yeah, I'm not sure why they added 4K into that phone, but... I don't know.
It's just something else so that Apple can go, and look at what we've done, aren't we special?
Yeah, definitely.
Putting a bit of
I'm probably one of the 1% that's exception to the rule, because I've been filming in 4K probably for the last 2 years.
Oh, okay.
And plus I do have a lot of 4K content that I try to put on YouTube as well, so.
Yeah.
You know, I'm glad they added it to the iPhone, because when I don't have my 4K camera with me, I can actually just whip out a phone and conveniently use it. So it is convenient to me to have the 4K in there.
Yeah,
it's probably
what are the file sizes like? Is the other thing the file sizes must be just freaking massive.
RAW 4K will I believe that the iPhone's not using native RAW 4K, because if it did, 128 gigabytes still wouldn't be enough for 10-minute video. I believe it's compressed to a point where it's still visible as 4K, but you can still use it as 4K.
Okay, cool.
All right, cool. Jacob, any questions?
Nah.
Okay, no question. Darryl, what about you? Any questions for us? Oh, Paul's got an iPhone, so do I. So any questions, mate?
Yeah, the iPhone 6S. So is the new 3D Touch, do you think it's going to be one of those things that'll be easy for people? I mean, I'm sort of more talking, if you like, the average iPhone user that might upgrade, do you think it'll be pretty easy for them to use? There's not a steep learning curve.
It took me a couple of minutes to get used to it. So, you know, there's an option in the settings where you can change the, how much you can press on and that sort of thing. And, you know, it's pretty easy to use, you know. What about you, Paul? You haven't used much of it because you haven't got your phone working yet.
I would use it if more, obviously, developers add more options to that functionality. So as far as I can tell, like the camera option... really quick video, you just press down and click on the video and you start filming, as opposed to going into the camera app and pressing record. You know, you could do it all in one click with Force Touch, which is pretty cool. I like Force Touch on the actual MacBook as well as obviously on the Apple Watch as well.
Yeah.
So having it on the iPhone is even better because it's on a bigger scale screen, so
definitely.
It's definitely worth a look. They just need more developers to take advantage of it.
Yeah, definitely. Are you going to be getting the iPad Pro, Paul?
I'm thinking about it, okay. But I'm still tossing up between my MacBook and an iPad Pro, so I'd have to see what the iPad Pro would offer.
Yeah, I think it's just I think it's just the biggest screen, and they did a Microsoft thing on it on the keynote, which is sort of annoying. I don't know why they brought Microsoft into it.
I think trying to make the iPad Pro popular, well, people in business, I think Apple want the device not just to be for content creators or people wanting to watch content on their device. They want people in offices and businesses to use it. So that's why I think they did the partnership with Microsoft to say, well, you've already got Microsoft Office, which is probably the most popular business office suite. Why not port it to the iPad, and then the iPad can suddenly, you know, compete with notebooks in the office space.
Yeah, definitely. So it's more for business people.
Well, I think that's the reason they did the deal with Microsoft, because, you know, Apple's got their own, you know, their own pages and their own suite, but Microsoft dominates the office. Like, you know, you go to any big office or something, you switch your computer on, it'll have Microsoft Office floating around, some version floating around. So if they can get a good version of that ported onto the iPad, they can then turn around and market the iPad, not just for those as they want to watch video or content creators, you know, but to actual business houses, they can say, hey, you can have this iPad and you can use it at your office rather than buying a notebook. Mm-hmm. It's interesting for Microsoft because this competes against Microsoft's own tablet, the Surface.
Yeah.
The Surface tablets. Mm. So for Microsoft to port, it's a big change for Microsoft too, because they're actually porting their software onto a competing tablet. So I think Microsoft's changed its philosophy. It's saying these days, we don't care what device you use, as long as you use Office on that device.
Yeah, which is very smart. I was just thinking about this before, actually, as I was installing the Google Talk plugin on my new MacBook, about how I think they did used to be a lot of resistance between the big companies to not want to either make their stuff available to other companies' products, or vice versa, to block their products. But we're living in a day and age where sometimes human demand is exceeding the technology, or human demand is moving along at an extremely fast pace. And I think we are in a time where if you run a technology company and you think that you can get away with imposing a limitation on telling your users what they can and can't do with your device, I think you're dreaming, and it's the perfect way to create animosity, to say, no, you can't install this other company's stuff on your device that you bought from us. So I'm glad, it's the right thing for Microsoft to be doing, to just go, yeah, cool, just install our stuff wherever you want, whatever device. That's very smart. And it was dumb what they were doing before.
All right.
It's a childish, really, I think.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. Steve, what's your view on that? And Steve, what's your view on all that, mate?
Actually, Microsoft's always been, makes most of its money through business and software and services, and not really so much hardware, even though the Surface Pro is starting to catch on. So yeah, it makes sense for Microsoft to put their Office on as many devices as possible. And like online, I forgot what they call it now, Microsoft
365.
Yeah. So if they can get them a subscription service, then I think that'll work just as well for Microsoft. And, you know,
well, it was great. I mean, I know it's a side issue, but it was great because Microsoft just released Office 2016 this week, and I've got an Office 365 account, but it's just the personal account, so I can install it. And I just clicked the button and it downloaded the new version onto the computer. It didn't cost me anything extra. It cost me about $8, $9 a month for the subscription, but I instantly had Office 2016. No buying DVDs, no, you know, paying several hundred dollars for DVDs. Just clicked on the link. It said, do you want the new one? I said, yeah, and it downloaded it.
All right, cool. All right, sounds good. So, Paul, anything else you want to mention about the phone, mate?
Yeah, it's good so far, I guess. There's not really anything I can say.
What about the new watchOS 2 and the iOS 9? I'm loving the new watchOS and iOS 9 on my devices. They work fantastic.
Yeah, I like the clock interface and the time machine type thing where you can go forward and backward in time,
mm-hmm.
not literally, but actual. You know, to see what the weather is, you know, a few hours or a day in advance, or not just weather, but everything like your calendar entries, anything like that. It's like on the Pebble time where you can actually just go through time and go back through time and see your schedules and that type of stuff. You do the same thing on the Apple Watch.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really good.
Have you got
iOS 9? I haven't had any problems as yet. I like the split screen function on the iPad.
Yeah, definitely love that.
I use that pretty much all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, pretty good so far.
What apps do you use on your iPad, Paul? Do you use Netflix and that?
Well, Netflix. I would really like to see that on P. Was it? PIP, you know, the one how it goes into a small window and you can watch the video.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Picture in picture.
So when they start supporting that, that'd be awesome Netflix because you can do other stuff and see your Netflix going at the same time.
Yeah, that'd be fantastic, that.
So, yeah.
What about you, Hannah? Are you enjoying your new MacBook Pro and iOS 9 on your phone?
Yeah, well, I haven't upgraded to iOS 9 because I'm going to get the new 6S phone, but later in the year. So I'm sort of saving the new operating system as a surprise for myself.
All right, cool.
And, the new MacBook Pro also has Force Touch on the trackpad. And, yep. I mean, I've done a little bit of research, but so far I haven't found anybody sharing more than 15 uses for the Force Touch on the trackpad. And the funny thing is the trackpad has a haptic feedback, which means it buzzes, so it feels like it's clicking, but it's not actually clicking, which is the weirdest thing to learn that, because when you press it, it totally feels like it's clicking, but it does. Apparently this trackpad doesn't actually go down at all. It just makes you think it does. So far I'm finding the applications of what you can do with the Force Touch on the MacBook Pro is a bit limited and it's indicating that it's going to provide future more intuitive uses, but so far it's a bit boring. It's like, okay, if you use Force Touch on, which just means you press down once so it clicks and then press down again so it clicks a second time, on a file name, then it gives you the ability to rename the file. Or if you use Force Touch on a picture of the file, it gives you the preview as if you had pressed the space bar. So far they're just doing things that maybe just cut out one step or one physical movement, like so you don't have to press the space bar. You can just use Force Touch. There's also if you're going to draw with it, it's pressure sensitive. So if you press down harder with your drawing on the trackpad, then the line gets thicker. Things like that. It will be really interesting to see where we're at in 2 years' time with the capabilities of Force Touch. But at the moment, it's early days and it's a little bit boring and, yeah, not that useful. I think they're trying to figure out what they can do with it.
All right, cool. All right, and there's a blog post coming soon from Johanna if you want to put it up, if you're still doing it. That's cool. Can't wait to see it.
Yeah, I just have to put the finishing touches on it.
All right, cool. Thanks, I appreciate that. Jake, you're telling me to wrap up, so I'm going to wrap up now. And what do you want to say before we go?
I like what I saw with the iPhones.
Yeah.
6S.
You going to get one, Matt?
Brad, if I tried to get it, my hole in my pocket would be so big that I don't even have my own money.
All right, let's not go into that. Dara, what about you, mate?
The it looks, the iPhone looks really good. I think again the sort of 3D or Force Touch, whatever, it's a work in progress, and I think, you know, as soon as more app developers and more, you know, come to the party, it's only get, that sort of thing's only going to get better.
Yeah,
and
definitely
better and better. I think the cameras are great. I mean, 4K, yes, there's not a lot of us that have 4K screens or can, you know,
upload 4K,
stream anything in 4K. But again, it's one of those things where, as Hannah said, A, it's Apple saying, hey, look what we can do, and B, it's also, again, future-proofing, because 4K is going to be coming somewhere down the track, and so Apple are getting in now and saying, well, you know, if you're looking in a year or two or three even at 4K, we already have it on our devices. So, it's just a bit of future-proofing, a bit of marketing and that as well. And of course, like Paul, there are people out there who genuinely use 4K at the moment.
Yeah, definitely. Now, Dara, have you got into Apple Music or Spotify, or are you just still going to... Still looking at that?
Not yet, but I am going to have a look at Spotify, I think. Yeah, okay. I'm going to have a look at Spotify and get in. I might, but I haven't really. I mean, I've been very slack when it's come to music. I'm probably a bit of a dinosaur.
That's all right, so you know. Whatever works for you, mate. You know,
act together and
and
listen to some more modern music and get my head out of listening to old stuff that I like listening to, because I don't want to end up like my parents and just be saying, oh, this new modern music.
There's nothing wrong with listening to the old music. There's more scientific evidence coming out that just demonstrates that pretty much all... Oh, I think the statistic was something like once you hit the age of 32... The music that you like is pretty much going to be the music that you always like forever, and to like any new music is basically quite difficult for our brains.
It's interesting that, because I know, I used to always think when I'd see old, you know, the older generations, and they'd get to the stage where they'd be always criticising the young generation. Oh, why do you listen to that stuff? And I used to say to myself, that's never going to be me.
All right,
I'm
going
to be...
We need to wrap up, Daryl. So we need to wrap up, mate. So I don't want to keep it under an hour.
Yep.
So where can they get hold of you, Daryl, if they want to ask you any more questions, mate?
Oh, I'm at Twitter at Learnscape, or Daryl Hunt on Google Plus. Yeah, I'm usually haunt Google Plus.
So, and also, we just want to announce that you're going to be on the podcast each week from now on, as from today.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, no, I'm looking forward to it. Thanks for inviting me to be a regular.
And Tech Luster, what about that?
We'll have to, Jacob and I'll have to have a chat at some stage, I guess.
Well, that sort of went to a that lasts for like 2 seconds and it was dead in the water. So, Jacob, what's your view on the show, mate?
It's pretty good, and Tech Cluster, I don't think it's going to do well.
Really? Why is that?
Because I've tried several things and... got no hits, no views, no nothing.
So you just want to be on this. So you just want to be on this podcast just to freeload.
Freeload.
I'm joking. Because we do get the best guests on each week, man. That's why you're here. That's why you want to be on here.
Yes, because it helps me get out there with people.
Really?
Yeah.
In what way?
My communication skills get better and better and better.
What do you think about that, Hannah?
I think that's awesome. Good on you, Jacob. I'm glad to hear you're so self-aware. That's great.
I don't
want...
Yeah, good on you, mate.
Go on.
I just don't want to make myself look like I'm in the gutters and trash. Not how to talk to people correctly.
Awesome. Yeah, it's an important thing.
Well, you're not homeless, cool. Jacob.
Cool.
Paul, what about you, mate? Before, Hannah, where can they get hold of you?
Me?
Yeah,
you can.
Not at once.
Sorry. Who are you talking to, Brad?
Hannah. I'm talking to Hannah.
I am everywhere and nowhere. Google my. If you look for Hannah's, spelled Hanna, and then silver like a color. Google, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube. Look for me on YouTube.com/. AstroBic. It's like Astro Boy, but it's AstroBic, B-I-C.
Cool.
Thanks, Brad.
Thanks, Hannah, for being on. What was I going to say? So enjoy your new MacBook.
Thank you. Thanks.
Okay, Paul, what about you, mate?
Yeah, you can catch me on PKTV on YouTube as well as Twitter. You can download my apps on iOS and Android. Yep. You can catch me on Google Plus as well.
And also on this podcast.
Oh yeah, and Tech Webcast. and possibly Tech Cluster if
that's not gonna
do stuff.
No, that's not gonna happen.
Jacob.
That's not gonna happen. Don't rely on good. That. Don't rely on it. Who else is he? Steve, what about you, mate?
That was a great show. And you can find me on Twitter as chatterbox_live.
All right, good stuff. Jake, you want to play something funny at the end?
If you want me to.
No, I don't want you to. That was a joke. I didn't want you to. So, Hannah, are you going to be here next week or are you having a break?
I'm not sure. Maybe. Okay. I'll confirm with you.
Okay, thanks, Hannah.
I do really enjoy being on Tech Webcast.
That's fun.
I love it here. It's good.
It's fun. I'm not sure where Jodie is, but she's somewhere in a camper van or something, traveling somewhere.
Oh, lucky her.
I think she missed that on her phone. Where is she, Steve?
She's in Bertha.
That's where she is. Yeah.
Okay.
Thanks, Jacob and Hannah, Daryl and Paul. Steve, thanks, guys.
I got something for you.
Doris.
Oh, God. Go ahead. I'm just going to... Go on.
Silence!
Tech Webcast. The hosts and guests are unsurpassed. Tech Webcast. 'Cause technology, it moves so fast. Tech Webcast. Ha! Stick around and you're gonna have a blast. Yeah! Tech Webcast. Ha! Ha! Tech Webcast. Big ups to Andrew, to Brad, Jody, Steve, and Jennifer! Boom!